Hi, you're listening to the Sermon Podcast of Impact Church in Fredericksburg, Virginia. I'm Pastor Brandon, the church planter and lead pastor. We are a new church in the DC area that is centered on the gospel and sent to our neighborhoods, Northern Virginia, and the nations. Please visit our website at www.impactfxbg.church. There, you'll find our current meeting times and locations. Our prayer is that you are encouraged by the message you hear today and fall more in love with Jesus and others. Thanks for listening.
So let's dive in. If you have a copy of God's Word with you this morning, a Bible, let's turn with me. We're going to flip through to a few different passages of Scripture this morning. So if you're here, maybe it's your first time to church in a long time or first time to church in a while or ever, and you're like, oh, dude, I left my Bible somewhere like 15 years ago. Listen, that's cool. No problem. I encourage you, use your phone or tablet. If you brought a device with you this morning, you can download a Bible app on the App Store and follow along with us today. So scroll along or flip along, and we're going to be doing a lot of flipping. We don't usually do that. Usually we just get on one passage, and we are going to land on one passage and teach through it this morning. But to set it up, I'm going to be flipping through a few different passages to set this thing up this morning. So just be ready for that. Be aware of that, all right? Matthew chapter 6 is where we'll start. Sorry, I was like, why are they all looking at me so intently? Matthew chapter 6 is where we'll start. And I'll tell you what verse in just a second, all right? But today I wanted to just kind of chat about what does it look like for the life of a Christian to abide in Jesus through fasting. So the question is, we got to start with, is what is fasting? What is fasting? So this is interesting because it's interesting because we live in a country in America where we're like the least healthiest people on the planet, but we have the most health trends and fads than any other country in the world. Like, have you noticed, like, every 2 weeks there's like this new health fad and this new thing you're supposed to be doing? And fasting years ago it's always been a part, but it's been recently introduced as like this health kick. And so when we say fasting, some of you are like, oh, I did that when they checked my blood work one time. That was the longest 4 hours of my life. Like, I had to do that. And I would just say, like, that's good. That is technically fasting. But as a follower of Jesus, we have a different definition of fasting. It's not something we just do for health reasons. It's not something we just do for medical reasons. So here's the definition that I came up with I want us to use today. Fasting as a follower of Jesus is to abstain from food for a period of time in order to focus more on prayer and Bible reading so that we can recalibrate our desires towards God. What I realized is as I was researching the last few weeks is there's really not a whole lot of, I mean, Jesus never says, like, here is a definition of fasting. It was just a gift given to us by God in the Old Testament as a way for us to draw close to Him, to repent of our sins and enjoy relationship with Him. And so it's just been this gift He's given to us as a way to invite His presence in our lives. And it's just been so assumed that godly people would fast that now it's hard to find like a strict definition of fasting because we've gotten so far away from this spiritual practice. So that's a good definition for you of what fasting is. Here's a few just kind of facts from Scripture. If you're taking notes, you can write down this first thing. Fasting is expected from our Lord. Fasting is expected from our Lord. Like some people might say, well, Jesus gives us the option to fast. Jesus never gives us a command to fast. And while it's true that Jesus never looks at his followers and says, hey, you people, you're eating too much. You need to fast and pray this week, you know? Or, oh, it's January, time for our annual fasting and prayer season again. Like, while Jesus doesn't do that, it is implied through so many teachings of Jesus that godly people fast as a way to draw near to God. So Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 17. If you're there, say, I'm there. Oh, awesome. Matthew 6, 17. This is what it says. Jesus is talking to his followers. He says, but when you fast, everybody say when. Everybody say not if. Anoint your head, wash your face. In other words, like take a shower. That your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. and your Father who sees in secret, I love this part, highlight this, will reward you. So sometimes we're like, oh, you don't need to fast for what you can get from God. You just need to fast. And I would say that is true, that your motive matters. But let me tell you something. Jesus promises that when you fast, there's a reward coming. Like, how many of you, that sounds like good news for you? Like, if I promise you a reward, you're getting like a prayer this week, all right? If I'm like, man, I got a special prize for you, I'm going to pray for you twice this week. If God, if Jesus promises a reward for you, it's going to be pretty good. Like, that's something I want. And so you need to understand, fasting was expected. Jesus didn't say, if you fast. He said, when you fast. In other words, they were already fasting. Fasting was already a part of their practice of how they drew closer to God. In fact, in the original Greek language, that word fast and fasting is nestis. And it means, and I love this definition, it means the one who is empty. The one who is empty. And while it implies physical emptiness, I'm fasting, so my stomach is empty. they didn't do the Daniel fast back then. They knew about the Daniel fast because they memorized the book of Daniel, but they didn't do the Daniel fast. They just went without food completely. So the word fast is the Greek word that literally means if I say I'm Brandon and I'm fasting this week, it's like me saying I'm Brandon and I'm empty this week. And while there's a physical meaning behind that, I think there's also a spiritual connotation behind that. That fasting, Jesus tells us to fast because he knows it will empty us of all the stuff that doesn't honor him. Like, he knows that fasting strips us of our pride, strips us of all the idols in our lives that we've been clinging to. And so when you're fasting, you're emptying yourself, cleaning yourself out, so that Jesus can come back and fill you back up with his presence. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, it is, Pastor Brandon. That's beautiful. That's awesome. All right, here we go. Now, here's the thing. I have a theory of why most Christians don't fast. And I feel like I'm on safe ground because I have traveled the world. I have gone to places and shared the gospel and met people who are following Jesus in so many different cultures. I feel like I'm on solid ground to say that American Christians really struggle with fasting. Like, this isn't something most other Christians around the world really struggle with. Now, for the most part, that's because they don't really have a lot of food. So they, a lot of times, their fasting is not by choice. Their fasting is because God led them in that situation, and they're going to use it to glorify God and draw near to him. But for us, we have an abundance of food. Like, even if you're in poverty, the access we have to food is beyond what any other country in the world has. Okay? So I want you to see, but the main reason I feel like we have a problem with fasting, and if you're taking notes, you can write this down. Fasting is hard. It's difficult. That's why we don't like to do it. Like, praying, that's not too hard, right? Praying in public, maybe some of us are like, I don't know if I'm ready to pray, you know, in front of other people yet, but I don't mind praying. I don't mind reading my Bible. That's not that hard because maybe I'm not a reader, so I just put on a podcast or stick on the audio book and I can listen to it going down the road. Like, those things aren't that hard, but fasting, Brandon, that's hard. So let me tell you, like some reasons fasting is hard. If you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, you have an enemy. You have an enemy. Turn with me to the book of John chapter 10. Or scroll with me. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus tells us about our enemy. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says this, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." There's a contrast. Jesus wants to give you abundant life. That word life, abundant, it means eternal life and full life. There's an enemy that wants to steal from you. He wants to kill you, and he wants to destroy you. There could not be a more stark contrast between Jesus and your enemy. And by enemy, I'm referring to Satan. And I want you to see here that fasting is hard because you have an enemy. And listen, his chief aim is this. He don't want you to be close to God. He don't want you to be close to God. So fasting, a lot of times, is hard because we have allowed the enemy to steal our intimacy with God, to kill our spiritual souls, and to destroy our desires to be close to Jesus. I love this quote by a guy, Elmer Towns. Elmer Towns helped found Liberty University. This is what Elmer Towns says. He says, if you are serious enough to take up the discipline of fasting, you can expect resistance, interference, and opposition. Plan for it. Insofar as you are able, do not be caught unawares. Remember that you are attempting to advance in your spiritual journey and to gain ground for the kingdom. That necessitates taking ground away from the enemy, and no great movement of the Holy Spirit goes unchallenged by the enemy. So know that fasting is hard, and there's even some of you here today that are going, I know I want to do it, I feel, but I'm scared, I'm intimidated, I don't want to do it. Like, listen, Jesus ain't looking for your perfect, he's looking for your obedience. He's just looking for you to step into him, to draw near to him, all right? The only way to fail in your fasting journey is to not do it. That's the only way to fail. God's not looking for your perfection. He's looking for your obedience. He's looking for your desire for him. Here's another reason we don't fast. If you're taking notes, write this down. We idolize comfort. We idolize comfort. I love this verse, and I hate it. You can turn with me, but it's also on the screen. But I'd like it if you would turn with me and scroll, because you can highlight it and come back to it. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Philippians 3, 17. Paul is talking to the church at Philippi, trying to encourage them. This is what he says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Now, listen, I want to stop right there because this is an important point. Is that Paul is saying you need to listen to godly influences in your life. You need to stop listening to people who are leading you away from what God's will is. So you need to even expect that there are going to be people in your life, maybe even like a spouse or a best friend or someone else in the church who doesn't understand and may lead you away and say, well, you don't really have to fast. Don't be legalistic about it. You don't need to do that. I don't feel like God's calling me to do that. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Like expect that. But listen to the voices of godly people. Listen to the voices of people who imitate what Jesus said. Not the people, no matter what they call themselves, Christians or not, no matter what they say. All right, then he says this, for many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies, there's that word again, of the cross of Christ. But listen to verse 19. This is how Paul describes enemies. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. Isn't that interesting? An enemy of the cross is someone who worships their belly, their stomach. They have no control over their appetites. Now that's physically and spiritually. We just consume whatever we want. If we want more social media, we take in more social media. If we want more gossip on text messages, we just slide in the DMs and get our gossip on. If we want more food, we just get more food. Like that's all there is to it. Like, we just live in a culture and society where that's all available to us, and we can just do that. But church, listen to me. Like, the Bible is clear that we actually, I think, in our country, idolize food. Like, everything we do revolves around food. And the hardest part of fasting is not going to be the food for you. It's going to be your routine. But I'm used to Taco Tuesdays. And I'm used to the routine of I always have lunch with these people. And they're going to think I'm weird. Or every morning for breakfast, I got my cup of creamer, and I put a little dash of coffee in there. And if I don't have that, you just don't want to know me. And I would just say, man, I love you. I do want to know you. You're probably right. I do want to know you after your creamer in the mornings. But I also love you enough to tell you don't idolize your belly. Don't let your belly be your God. See, guys, God is our God. And so we put everything under his control. And I just don't think that's something as the church we talk about enough, about how we actually idolize food. But it's not just food, it's the idea of comfort. And food brings us comfort. Eating a certain type of food, eating a certain type of way, eating at certain restaurants, eating with certain people, it all just gives us a sense of comfort. And Jesus wants to take that from you so that you find your comfort and security only in him. So that then when he gives those good things back to you, they don't become idols anymore. They're just things that point you closer to Jesus. I love what D.L. Moody said. He's an old preacher. He gone. He says, if you say, I will fast when God lays it on my heart, you never will. You are too cold and indifferent to take the yoke upon you. This is why, together as a church, we say we're going to do this together. Because my hope and prayer is that it springboards you into living a life of including this as a part of your drawing close to God throughout the year. But if we do it all together, it'll build our confidence. We'll have people we can lean on when things get hard or we don't know what we're doing. And it can help us draw closer to God. But if you say, I'm not going to do it this week because I don't feel like God is calling me to, I want to tell you right now, brother and sister, please don't say that. It's not true. God is calling you to fast and pray. All throughout Scripture is a call to depend on him and humble ourselves and bow before him. And you say, Brandon, I can do that without giving up food. And I would just say, the fact that you're resistant to that tells me that you can't. It tells me that you're fighting for an idol. And brother and sister, it's okay to grip it. But you know, eventually, after one of my children grips something I'm trying to take out of their hands, eventually they let go. And that's the way we have to be with God. Here's another reason fasting is hard. Don't worry, this is the last one. This is kind of a joy kill. Another reason it's hard is because fasting is putting faith into action. Turn with me in the Word to Isaiah chapter 58, verse 4. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 4. Isaiah 58 is my favorite chapter in the Bible on fasting. So this may be a chapter you want to come back to this week. And meditate on and read throughout our fast. But Isaiah 58:4 says this, Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. This is what's amazing, is the Bible says you can actually be fasting and God still ain't listening to your prayers. That's terrible. Like, that's a horrible thought. That, like, I'm putting all this sacrifice in and all this effort in to draw close to God, and he's not even listening to me. And some of you are like, Brandon, this is messed up. I was told growing up that God always hears my prayers. And the fact is, God always loves you. But there are sometimes we are in direct disobedience, and God says, go fix this first, and then come back to me, and we can have a conversation. Okay? And that's what God is saying. He's saying, you're fasting, but you're not living a life that honors me. And here's the thing. Fasting kills lukewarm Christianity. True biblical fasting kills consumerism in the church. Like, biblical fasting that leads us to repentance of sin, it destroys religious attitudes in our church. And it lifts up the gospel, the freedom of Jesus. Listen to this quote by a guy, Arthur Wallace. He was a Bible teacher in the UK. He says this, he says, Fasting is calculated to bring a note of urgency and importance into our praying and to give force to our pleading in the court of heaven. The man who prays with fasting is giving heaven notice that he is truly in earnest. God, I want you. I want you more than I want anything else. Well, this is our last scripture this morning, so you can actually turn here and we'll read it together. So I wanted to just show you guys, we're going to be in Acts chapter 13, so that's kind of our last scripture to read today. But what I wanted to do is show you guys what fasting is and share with you some reasons why it is hard. And I wanted to encourage you, like, it's okay that it's going to be hard. Like, that's okay, but it's not impossible, and it's not that hard. Like, once you start, but if you know these things going in, like, these are the common reasons most people give up. So I figured if you know these things from God's Word, that's going to help us stay the course. But I want you to see here, because I get sometimes, some people tell me, well, Brandon, fasting just seems like an ancient thing, and I'm under grace. I'm not under the law anymore, Brandon. And so if I fast or don't fast, that doesn't affect my salvation, doesn't affect God's love for me. And I would say, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. But here's what I know, that someone who truly is in love with God loves to fast to be close to God. And if anyone comes and says, I've got a secret of how you can know God more, someone who truly loves God is going, gimme, 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 gimme. What's the secret? Tell me. I won't tell anybody. Like, I got to know, right? And fasting is that way. So I want to show you, some people even, let's just dive in. Acts chapter 13. I want to read the first three verses. If you've been coming to this church for a little bit, you've no doubt heard us read this passage. But I want you to see, like, Brandon, where did we get doing a week of fasting and prayer from the Bible? And I want you to know, as far as this church goes, I try to be very upfront with you, things we get from the Bible and things that are just my opinion, all right? Because if they're my opinion, you can take it or leave it. But if it's the Bible and it's God's Word, well, we gotta rally around that, all right? And so this, I want you to see straight from God's Word, why we're doing a week of fasting and prayer. All right, Acts chapter 13, verse 1. If you're there, say, I'm there. Hey, all right. Now, there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord, and what? The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then, after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Here's what I want you guys to see through this scripture. If you're taking notes, write this down. Fasting shows a hunger for closeness with God. Fasting shows a hunger for closeness with God. Here's what I know. We aren't told why they're fasting together. The context of this passage is in Acts chapter 12. I know you hear the name Saul. That's actually the name Paul. His name was Saul, and then they changed it to Paul. And so it's used kind of interchangeably sometimes in Scripture. But that Saul we're talking about is the Apostle Paul. Okay, and so you may hear me say Paul instead of Saul. Here's what happened. Paul and Barnabas were just off in Acts chapter 12. They just witnessed an incredible event. King Herod refused to give glory to God, and God struck him dead and let worms eat his body. And the church got to witness that. Everybody got to witness and see that. And so there is a, would you say maybe an urgency to things? Like, if that had just happened, I'm not going to fill in any names for us in our current context, but if that were to happen for us, that would garner our attention. We'd be like, huh, I better go to church this Sunday and just check things out. Like that's, okay, that's what has happened. And now Paul and Barnabas, they leave that place and they come back to a place of Antioch. Now, the gospel has yet to spread. The gospel hasn't really gone anywhere. It's kind of stayed in that Jerusalem area, maybe 5 or 10 miles east, west, north, south. Like, but it hasn't really spread. Jesus said it was going to go to the whole world. And we're a few years in, and it has not. It has not spread to the whole world. And so they get together, and I think Paul and Barnabas probably come back, and they got John Mark with them too. And they probably come back and they say, hey guys, I really think God's doing something, and I think we ought to pray about it. And so I want you to see that fasting was a regular part for the church to take part in to show their hunger to be close to God. I believe that this shows how spiritually hungry the church really was. And so we do this not just to make ourselves physically hungry, we do this to make ourselves spiritually hungry. So that by May, June, July, we're going, man, give me more God. I'm addicted to a relationship with Jesus. Like, I want that. All right, if you're taking notes, write this down. Fasting is a regular occurrence in the New Testament church. Fasting is a regular occurrence in the New Testament church. This isn't just an Old Testament practice. A lot of people, you know, oh, Pastor Brandon, that's legalism, that's the law, blah, 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 blah. But church, you need to understand, fasting was a regular part of what the church did. If you read through the book of Acts, there are multiple instances of the church getting together to fast and pray. And that doesn't include all the times individuals were just fasting and praying throughout their weeks and months. But this is just when the church was fasting and praying. And so anytime we saw a great movement of God in the book of Acts, two things were always present. Number one, the Word of God. And number two, prayer and fasting. Anytime we saw a great movement of God in the book of Acts, those two things were always there. Prayer and fasting and the Word of God. Prayer and fasting and the Word of God. Those two things, anytime it says, and the gospel spread, and people got saved, and God was on the move, two things always precluded that. Fasting and prayer, and the Word of God. So no wonder this was a regular occurrence in the New Testament. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. Fasting should be done alone and together. Fasting should be done alone and together. There should be times where you pray and fast as part of your regular relationship with God. There should also be times that it is appropriate for us to fast and pray as a church. In fact, some people will come to me and say, Brandon, Jesus says, like, when we fast and pray, we should go into our prayer closet, not let anybody see us. And here's the deal. Jesus wasn't getting after their method of fasting. He was getting after their motive of fasting. He was saying, you guys are fasting because you want everybody to look at you. It's like, look at me. Look how pale I am. Look how weak I am. Here, you guys just carry me because I'm so spiritual. I've been fasting for like all week. Carry me to church. Like that's what was happening. And Jesus is like, no, you need to keep your motive, the reason why you're fasting. That's intimate. So listen, it's not that fasting is always a private thing. Sometimes it is, but it is a personal thing. So it's okay to fast with other people because we see it right here in Acts chapter 13. If you're taking notes, write this down. Fasting allows the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. Fasting allows the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. See, guys, there's a direct connection in this passage between fasting and prayer and being led by the Holy Spirit. While they were fasting and praying and worshiping the Lord, the Holy Spirit moved, was felt, hovered. No, the Holy Spirit said. See, that word is intentional. Luke writes that word intentionally to show us that fasting is not going to produce a feeling inside of us. See, we're not looking to feel like we should fast or not. We're not looking for God to respond and make us feel a certain way. Nobody stood up and said that. They were led by the Holy Spirit. While they were fasting, praying, and worshiping God, they had gotten rid of all their distractions. It was just them and God going, God, I want more of you. We need to hear from you. Some dude just got eaten by worms. We need to hear from you. And they're just crying out to God. God spoke. You know what this tells me? This tells me we should be super nervous about making major decisions on our own without hearing from the Holy Spirit. See, what we learn in Acts 13 is the church, the followers of Jesus, were unwilling to budge until God said. They didn't budge. It had been years. They were supposed to go to the nations, and they didn't. And it wasn't until God said, hey, set these dudes apart for me and send them out because we got to get this ball rolling down the hill. But notice, they moved. You know what? Because the Holy Spirit said. Can you imagine that? Church, listen to me. Can you just imagine waking up on a Sunday morning and your first thought isn't, gosh, I hope the children didn't pour milk all over the floor, or gosh, the alarm's going off so early this morning. Do I really want to go? Like, it wasn't this. Your first thought was, I'm going to hear from God. Like, God of the universe is going to speak to me. Oh my gosh, is that not incredible? Like, is that not an amazing thought? To think that when we gather here today, like, that's what we're doing is going, God, speak to us. Say something. I'm in the middle of craziness. Work is terrible. My marriage is falling apart. My finances are in shambles. I've got 14 decisions to make and don't know what direction to go. I'm lonely. I'm discouraged. And the only thing that's gonna cause your soul to wake up is to hear from God. Church, listen, that's what we do. And that's what fasting allows. Fasting allows you to get rid of all the distractions around you and be weak and dependent and just let the Holy Spirit talk to you. Write this down. Fasting empties us of pride and fills us with trust. Fasting empties us of pride and fills us with trust. See, we're a very self-dependent people, very self-righteous. It would have been super easy for Saul and Barnabas and John Mark to just get up and tell the church, hey guys, here's what we're going to do. Here's our plan. Or just call a meeting, crunch the numbers, say, here's what it looks like from my human perspective of the decisions we need to make. But before they, listen, this is so important. Before they ever made a decision, they fasted and they prayed and they worshiped and they sought counsel with other believers. And it's not that if you do it another way or have done it another way that God doesn't forgive you and love you or that He won't even use that. He's done it in my life. I've made so many knuckleheaded decisions in my life that God has still used. It's just I had to go the long way, all right? God will still use you. You didn't screw anything up, okay? But I want you to hear me say, like, we got to be a people that stop making decisions based on human wisdom and start making decisions based on the Holy Spirit said. Here's the last thing. Fasting can facilitate a global movement of God. Man, I long for that. This moment in human history we're reading about in Acts 13, I believe is not just biblically, but historically one of the most important moments of human history. Like, it's written about not just in the Bible, but in history books around the world. You know why? Because before this moment, there was no organized effort to spread the gospel. There was none. But in this moment, because the church was fasting, praying, and worshiping, they got on their face. The Holy Spirit said, send these guys out and go share the gospel, make disciples, and start more churches. And because of that, there were churches started everywhere, disciples being made. Like, you need to understand, before Acts 13, most of the New Testament had never even been written. There was no 1 Corinthians. There was no 2 Thessalonians. There was no book of Titus or 1 Timothy. Like, these books didn't even exist because the church hadn't spread yet. The gospel hadn't been on the move. And you know what this verse we read today led to? It has led to right now a church planting and a disciple making movement that has utterly changed the world. It eventually led to altering the entire Roman Empire. Like, this moment that we read about, that started with just a few ragtags in a building, fasting, praying, and worshiping, led to turning the Roman Empire on its head because of Christianity on the move. And now, today, it has led to 2.4 billion Christians around the world. And this is the moment that it started. See, we think God may want to use big mission trips to change the world, or God may want to use, you know, big relief agencies to change the world, or maybe God's going to use a president or a king to change the world. Church, listen, in the Bible, He used His people praying, fasting, and worshiping to change the world. Worship team, you guys can go ahead and come up. But as they do, I want to just encourage you that I think it's safe to say that I hope that you will prayerfully consider joining us in this fast this week. Doesn't have to look perfect or pretty. I'm willing to help you. Your community group leader is willing to help you. Whatever we can do to help. Because here's what I believe. If you will participate, not just this week, but make fasting an ongoing practice in your life, I believe that you will see that prayer and fasting advances the gospel. And it does it in two ways. Praying and fasting advances the gospel in my life and in the world. See, when I pray and fast, the good news about Jesus starts soaking into all the cracks in my heart. All the brokenness I've got in my life, the frustration, the anxiety, the depression, the worries, the I don't know what to do about this. When I fast and pray, man, God just starts putting His truth and His gospel all in my life. Starts saying, Brandon, I'm alive. I rose from the dead. You're following me, man. What are you afraid for? I've conquered hell, and you're worried about traffic? What I know is that as we fast and pray and seek God, the gospel's going to advance in our lives. But here's what else I know. Be careful. Because as you seek God's face, He's going to reveal to you ways He wants to use your life to change the world with the gospel. That doesn't always look like moving.
Hi, Pastor Brandon here. Thanks again for listening to our Impact Church Sermon Podcast. If God has spoken to you today or you have a prayer request you'd like to share, please email us at hello@impactfxbg.church. If you're local to the Fredericksburg area, we would love to see you for worship in person. But if not, please let us know if we can help you find a gospel-centered church right where you're at. Feel free to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram and on our website, www.impactfxbg.church. Until next time, keep living the dream.